Good morning. I'm Nathan Strickland reporting live to you outside of Jerusalem, where a massive crowd has gathered to welcome the arrival of Jesus. Now, a lot has been said about this Jesus character over the last few months, but no one seems to agree on exactly who he is. So we're here to ask the crowd one simple question. Who is Jesus? Let's find out. Sir, excuse me. Can I get you for a second? Yeah. So who do you think this Jesus guy is? Who is this guy?
Oh, man, he is power. All right, he will fix this country. He'll fix this economy. He will be the best man ever.
Thank you for your comments. Yeah. You next? Ma'am, can I get you for a second? Who do you say that Jesus is?
Oh, my goodness. He's just everything right now. Everyone is talking about him. I've been following him, hoping to be part of the inner circle. Honestly, I'm hoping some of his influence and following will inspire my own following.
I hope that works out for you. Thanks for your comments. Sir. Who do you say that Jesus is?
Well, he's amazing. I mean, he fixes everything. Hungry, he makes food. Sick, he heals you. Problems, poof, gone. He makes life better. I'm hoping he'll come over to my house. I got a list of things he could start with.
Good luck getting him over there to do that. Sir, who do you say that Jesus is?
He is the judge of truth, and it's all about time. We have rules for a reason, and some people have been getting away with way too much for way too long. It's time they finally start getting what's coming to them and prove I was right.
I hope that works out for you.
Oh,
ma'am, excuse me. Who do you say that this Jesus guy is?
He's such a good teacher, really insightful. I love listening to him teach. He is full of wisdom and life lessons that give you a lot to think about. I mean, you don't have to agree with everything, but you could take what's best for you.
All right. Well, we seem to be hearing a lot of different things about this Jesus guy. But maybe the better question is, who does he say that he is?
Good morning. I will be reading from John 10, verses 11 through 21. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he's the demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
Well, it is always fun when you go to the teens with an idea and say you have a skit and you want to see how they're going to do it. thank you guys for doing that. We're in this series doing this I Am Statements of Jesus, and we've been letting Jesus tell us who he is. And today is no different. But the thing that I was thinking about the most was how powerful this day is, because this is the moment when Jesus truly came on the scene, if you're following the church calendar. This is his triumphal entry. This is Palm Sunday that we celebrate. And I just kept getting that thought over and over as we were getting closer, that today we're doing the I Am the Good Shepherd, and that moment of as he's writing in all those feelings that people had of who he was supposed to be. They had seen him do the miracles. They've seen him raise the dead. They've heard his teachings. And each person in that crowd has different expectations of what they think Jesus is supposed to bring to the table. And I'm curious if anyone actually took the time to ask Jesus what he was bringing. I'm sure a lot of them thought about this passage. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. I wonder how many were thinking of this verse as he's coming in riding. And yet how many realize that the very next verse says he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. You know, that's the problem. Everyone was expecting the powerful king to arrive. They wanted to put their nation back on top. They wanted to be the Israel that they remembered, not this under the rule of Rome. And yet in their own scriptures, it was showing them that yes, he is a king, but he's also a shepherd. Actually, those words can be interchanged quite often. Shepherd was one of the words they used to talk about the kings, those ruling. Both Moses and David were shepherds even before they took on their leadership roles. 2 weeks ago, I showed you this clip. And we talked about the idea that sheep don't always do the greatest job. Sheep have a tendency to not always be smart. I can't pause that. And so we talked about this when he talked about I am the gate. He talked about sheep need protection. They follow anything. They tend to get lost and scare easily, and they scatter when that happens. And so after telling them about the gate, he comes back around and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And they need that because, listen, I was listening, and I'd heard the story before, and I was listening to someone's sermon, and I heard him talk about it again. I was like, oh man, I had totally forgotten about the story. In 2005, there was Turkish shepherds that had about 1,500 sheep. And they were off on this cliffside with about a 50-foot drop. And one of the sheep looks down, sees something, and jumps to its death. And the sheep says, oh, look, I saw him go that way. I'll follow. And the next thing that happens is all 1,500 sheep jump off this cliff. The crazy thing is only about 400 died because the rest landed on the soft bodies of the other ones. But it was this crazy moment that they were talking about this idea of just, that's what sheep do. They get in this mentality that this herd mentality where they just follow. And I'm curious how hard the shepherds tried, because I was looking into this and they don't give a lot of detail. But these sheep were owned by multiple other families in the area. And so I'm curious how much investment these shepherds had compared to those. Now, some of them did send family, so let's assume that at least some of them had investment in these sheep. But I'm curious what it was going through their heads as this is happening. But the truth is, today's lesson isn't about sheep being dumb and needing a savior. That was more of the gate. Because what Jesus is focused on in this passage is the good shepherd. He wants to point out the difference between him and those around him. He says, no. He says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Jesus was pointing out just the simple fact that no one is going to risk their life for just a job. that if this is just the job, they're not going to do it. Actually, I was reading one thing. They talked about that some hired hands would even go as far as to grab one of the weaker animals to begin with and just throw it to the wolf in order to get away themselves. Whereas Jesus says, no, the good shepherd lays down his life. It's the difference between having a relationship with the sheep versus no connection. He says the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life when the wolves come. And then he makes a distinction that he actually already made earlier, and he comes back around. Earlier, remember, he built off this small parable of the sheep knowing him, and anyone who comes in the pen is a thief and a robber, and only those that come to the gate are the ones who are the real shepherd. And no one understood, so that's why he had to give this more expounded version that we get now. But he says his sheep know his voice. And then he reminds them of this. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Jesus is trying to compare this idea that, there's a huge difference between me and those. Remember, when we were talking about this gate, we were talking about the idea that a lot of this is stirring from the fact that Jesus has been teaching at the temple and he's getting more and more frustrated with the leaders. He's tired of them keeping back his sheep, his people, from knowing God the way they're supposed to. And so he's clearly calling them out and calling them robbers, calling them thieves, calling them simply the hired hands because they don't care about the sheep the way he does. And this is not anything new. Ezekiel talks about this, and I'm curious how many of the people in the audience were even thinking of it as he's calling them out with this metaphor. In Ezekiel, the Lord is calling the leaders out and calling them awful shepherds. And he says, you drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flock starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. And the next thing that God says is, I'm going to be the one who does it. If you won't shepherd my people, I will. I wondered how many in the audience were hearing those words starting to ring in their ears as Jesus is saying, no, I am the good shepherd. If you read through the rest of that passage in Ezekiel 34, I didn't want to go through the entire thing like Devin and go through an entire chapter. But he goes on to talk about feeding them, making them lie down. A lot of Psalms 23 is showing up in this passage as he says, no, I'm going to be the one that does what's good for them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to provide for them. I will be their shepherd, and I will make sure there is justice. But it will be through me, not these hired hands. He wants them to know the difference between a good shepherd and the ones that have been leading them. And I want to take just a brief moment, just a little sidebar. This moment scares me, and I hope it's a good message for all of our leaders in the room to take seriously the roles we've been given of being the example of the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, in what he's given us. Because God has no problem getting rid of those who take poorly and putting someone else in charge. But like I said, Jesus says the sheep actually know him. And earlier he talked about they know his voice. And I saw this video this week. If you haven't seen this, I think you just got to experience this for yourself. The idea of the sheep knowing the shepherd. These are people that are visiting. And the shepherd has taught them how to call the sheep. And each one is taking a turn trying to do what he did in order to call the sheep.
One more time.
Oh, one is...
How dare!
Tick, 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 tick,
Now watch the sheep's heads pop up.
Look at them, look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They're coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe this. Oh my God. Is he right before us? Oh my God. This is amazing.
The sheep know his voice. They know him. And it's funny. There's other ones. I promise you, it's fun to go back and watch. There was one other favorite one of a man, fog all over a mountainside. You can't see a single sheep. And he just simply cups his mouth. You can't even hear what he says. And he just sits there and waits. Never shouts again. And all of a sudden, here comes one down the mountain. Here comes another one down the mountain. They hear the voice and they come running. And then Jesus says something interesting. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I appreciate what Sarah said so much. I mean, I wish I was getting goosebumps when she started giving her communion talk, because I was like, oh, this is perfect. I don't even have to explain after what she just said. There's other sheep. There are others that Jesus recognizes. That he says, no, not just the people I'm talking to here. No, there are others that need to hear my voice. They will know me as well. And it got me thinking, how do they know his voice? Like, I was looking at this, and I found this guy, a YouTuber, a Christian who owns sheep, and he actually responds to this question. He points out, he goes, hey, you know, no one's ever asked me this question. He goes, but I think it's one of the most important ones. He goes, yeah, the sheep know my voice. They've grown up with me. I've had this ranch. I've got these sheep. They know me. He goes, but what happens if I buy more sheep? They know another sheep, another shepherd. Is that me? There's a crackling. But anyways, he goes on to this idea and he says, hey, what do I do? And he goes, it's interesting because there's nothing I do. He goes, sheep follow. And so what will happen is the sheep that know his voice will be followed by those that haven't learned the voice yet. Yeah, you made that's an easy connection. It's so beautiful that those who are already following the voice of the good shepherd end up becoming the ones that lead the other sheep who don't to the voice that they've become to learn. And so Jesus says, hey, there are other sheep, and they will listen to my voice. Not that they already know his voice. No, that they will listen to my voice. That when that voice is heard and they see how others are following it, they will naturally pick up that voice and say, I want to follow that too. That's how they learn the voice that is there. Jesus ends with this. He says, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Now, it's interesting. If you've paid attention, Jesus, every time he mentions that he is the good shepherd, talks about, and the good shepherd lays down his life. Three times he brings up this idea of laying down his life, but it's only in this one that he finally says something a little bit different. He says, because I sacrifice my life. Jesus has been building to this moment of why he is the good shepherd. He says, I'm not just the good shepherd because I take care of you and I feed you and I show you your shelter. He says, no, I'm the good shepherd because I'm about to do something that's so much more. And unlike a regular good shepherd who may end up having to give their life up to protect from wolves or bandits, he says, that happens out of happenstance. That happens out of the circumstances that, he goes, I lay it down on purpose. Not because I'm laying it down, but because I'm the sacrifice. He goes, but if I sacrifice myself, it means I can pick it back up. Like, that's the big difference. That's what we celebrate next weekend with Resurrection Sunday. It's not the fact that he can just give up his life, and that's what makes him a good shepherd. There are plenty of good people who are willing to necessarily give up their lives to save someone. He says, it's not just that I'm willing to save someone or even necessarily save everyone. It's the fact that I'm willing to sacrifice myself and take up my life again. It's the power of the resurrection that is not just a good shepherd that we follow. It's the Messiah. That it's God who comes to us and says, I want to be your good shepherd. And if it means giving up my life as a sacrifice for you, I'm willing to do it. Isaiah 53 talks about the servant. Wonderful passage. It says, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Like, that's this powerful moment. Like, when we talk about this idea of the good shepherd, like, I hope you understand the goodness that's there. The fact that God comes in human form as Jesus and says, not am I going to just die for those who already know me, but you know what? I'm going to die for everyone. Like, you realize how powerful that is. Jesus, before he ever knew who all was coming, thousands of years later, that we could sit here in this moment and be told, no, he died for us too. Like, he could have just died for those in the moment or just for his followers of that time. But no, he says, I'm going to die for all of them. And not only that, he tells us that while we were still sinners, it was nothing about us. It wasn't only those that kind of know me, maybe know me, no. He says, no, once and for all, I'm dying for all of them. That I want them to know my love for them, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We have a good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life because of the love that he had for us. No strings attached, other than a call to listen to his voice. I want to invite the praise team back up. We're about to sing this song. I thought it was perfect. I love how the Spirit works. I don't even, you know, they knew a little bit about what I was going, and they just picked a great song. I am the sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. Remember that you have a good shepherd who loves you. And if you haven't experienced that fully yet, I pray you just sit in the song and feel the love of the God who is the good shepherd. But if you've already experienced that, if you know, maybe you need to be reminded, but you know this love, then make sure you're living it in a way that there are others who don't know the voice can follow you so that they too can hear that voice.